serving veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and a story that is certainly unique. We heard how 94-year-old Navy veteran Chester Chet Thomason survived the sinking of his destroyer, the USS Monson, in November of 1942. But we also heard about his work before the war in Sequoia National Park, where he was part of a CCC crew that created new passageways in one of that park's most famous attractions, Crystal Cave. There was a desire on Mr. Thomason's part to return inside that cave for the first time since 1940. And to pull it off, his son Corey had to enlist the help of a nearby junior college football team. We continue with Corey now, himself an Army veteran who served in Vietnam. Corey, what was it that made you so determined to take a 94-year-old back down into that hard-to-reach cave?
Well, he's my dad, and let's just say that I wasn't always the best son, but when I needed him, he showed up. Well, let's just let it go for that. It worked out, and then 4 years ago, I tried to take him down to Crystal Cave, and I was early 60s. He was, you know, late 80s, and I just ran out of steam trying to get him down there and couldn't do it. Get him back up the hill, he actually grabbed onto my belt, and I pulled him up like a draft animal or something.
It might be more amazing that you two survived that than him surviving 14 hours in the water.
Well, this time, I said, you know, a little prior planning prevents poor performance. So I got online and went through the local colleges, and I got in touch with him and said, can I rent some football players? Because I wanted to get him down to Crystal Cave, and I knew I couldn't do it. He got back to me and said, yeah, we can do it. You know, college kids always need a little, something to do, and coach, this being a good exercise program for him, because it's a half mile down this trail of broken asphalt and dirt. And he said, should I bring two or three football players? And I says, I'm a fan of overkill. Better bring three. Luckily, he brought five. And these were big men. I won't call them boys. They were men. And they pretty much carried Dad halfway down and halfway back up. The rest of the time, they rolled him on the broken asphalt. But when it came time to steps or whatever, they just hoist him up and carry him on there. The Park Service, Katie, Liz, they were all just super tremendous for father's participation in the Conservation Corps. Some of them remembered that I tried to take him down before, and the cave doesn't open till the 31st, except for my dad. And we got him down there, and he would reminisce about the camp for the CCC was another half mile down, so you didn't go out at night. You know, there was nothing to do. That's kind of why he wound up exploring that cave more than he should. The present person in charge of explosives for the National Park Service was quite impressed with the way his father was able to blow the passages between the caverns without disturbing the stalactites and stalagmites. One of these caverns has a groove in the ceiling where father had drilled a hole for the dynamite, and it turned from a hole into just a groove. And it's pretty flat along that groove, and the little small stalactites have started to grow. The scientists that study that sort of thing are going to be watching these small stalactites, because they know when these got started, the summer of 1940. They're going to be called Chester's stalactites when anybody takes a tour.
How about that? So what you're saying is they're going to learn something about how quickly stalactites can form based on the work your dad did and that these are now growing.
Yeah, these are not, and 75 years later, they're almost a half inch long.
All right. So they got a ways to go.
They have a ways to go, but 200 years from now, when somebody takes a tour of the Crystal Cave, there'll be a mention of Chester stalactites, which I think is kind of remarkable for a 17-year-old kid.
Absolutely. Who didn't know how dangerous the work he was doing was. Could have killed himself easily.
Yeah, he learned that the different percentages of nitro in the dynamite makes it more volatile.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that was a nice surprise as part of your trip. You probably didn't expect to hear that or learn that or see that.
Oh, no.
But why was it so important? Why was this such a quest for you to get him back there now?
He's my dad. You know, it's something that we don't have a lot of time left together. So it's something he wanted some years ago, and I couldn't cut it. This time I was going to get it done. Yeah, and he got down there, and he was in his glory. All the Rangers were listening to his every word and reminiscence and bent over backwards to help us and to accommodate this expedition for Dad.
Yeah, they're getting a piece of history they probably never expected to get. And maybe you can give us a taste, your understanding of what all he did there to create what we know now as the Crystal Cave and the access that we have to it.
Well, he had a couple of jobs. He was the clerk typist. He could type, which in 1940 was not particularly a masculine pastime.
Right.
So he was the clerk typist, and 52 words a minute. Then this was on the old, you know, throw the key, not push the button type typewriter.
Right.
And my grandfather worked for him also. He was kind of a packer. I have pictures of him packing mules. You know, there weren't any jobs in 1940. We were still in the Depression, and Grandpa came out to work with him also. So when he wasn't in the office and they needed to have something figured out to blow it out, I guess there are several spots you can still see wires that Father laid. Now, they're inert. They're just the wires that were laid because, you know, they'd put the charge in and they'd get out of the cave.
Right.
So when there's wire on the bottom of the debris, they know it's safe. Several years ago, they did find one unexploded charge that kind of got everybody's attention. And they had somebody come and check it out, and it was safe and it was continued. But you can see where they knew this cavern was here because you could crawl through that little hole to find it. But they wanted a passageway over to the side that did not disturb the cavern. And, you know, he didn't want any stalactites. His job was also to make sure that anybody, the tourist that was walking down there, didn't break the stalactites or stalagmites. So he was kind of a security guard there. And they've since welded up that little hole. He could slip through as a slinky little 17-year-old. Dad's only about 5'3". So, you know, he was a small man. The stuff he did is going to go down in maybe obscure history, that some history that it won't just be another person that passed through. He's left his mark here and there for his grandsons and great-grandsons to say, hey, I got the same name as that guy.
I imagine he left an impression on those five big strapping football players who made that dream come true for you.
This was a real job for these guys to carry, because it was him and that wheelchair.
Yeah.
Wound up breaking the wheelchair, one of the handles, but they sucked it up and carried him up that hill, and I'd never been able to do that. He calls it one of the most exciting days of his life, with a good memory to it, as opposed to having a little ship sunk out from under you.
Yeah, it's definitely a better memory to hold on to. And I imagine it had to be pretty satisfying for you, too, after all these years, to see him have that experience.
Oh, yeah. We got it done. The only thing that could have made it a little better was if my brother could have made it, but his health isn't in such a way that he could not have made the trip. But I got Skip's blessing to my brother Skipper. Oh, why is my brother Skipper? Well, his actual name is Chester Charles Thomason Jr.
Uh-huh.
His nickname is Skipper because my dad always wanted to kick the Skippers.
Anything else you think we should know about your dad?
No, he's made his mark, and I'm proud of him. I'm glad that he was able to participate in, even though he didn't know what he was doing or why he was doing, that doodle raid was, as you can imagine, the Japanese had years to plan an attack on an obscure little nowhere called Pearl Harbor, and 5 months later were bombing their capital. That must have left a real bad taste in somebody's mouth. On Mount Soledad here in San Diego is a monument to the servicemen of the various actions from World War One, etc. They don't have to have died in service. And Dad's up there with maybe 1,000 other servicemen from different services with pictures and the history. And you can see by the numerous lines there, Dad counted 182 enemy engagements. Dropping a depth charge is an enemy engagement.
But sure.
So is dodging a torpedo.
And this plaque is on that memorial, which is one of, if not my favorite place in all of San Diego. It's got to be the best view anywhere in California. You can see miles of coastline in either direction. And there is a beautiful memorial cross that stands atop that mountain. And all these plaques surround that cross, and you'll see some famous names. Glenn Miller is one of them I know who's up there. I think Ted Williams is up there. A lot of famous names. and then a lot of names like your dad's, which everybody should know. And if they go there, they'll see this plaque, and they see a photo of him in his Navy uniform. Underneath it says, "Your bravery is not forgotten." It's got the photos of his two ships, the Monson and the Stevens. When somebody goes up to Mount Soledad and they see your dad's plaque, what do you want them to think or know or understand?
That we live the way we do because of men like him that were able to step up and answer the call.
Amen. And I'm thankful we could hear a little bit of how your dad did exactly that in the Navy. I know our whole audience is thankful you could share your part of the story and your dedication to your dad here today. And it's not just the Thomason family that had an eye-opening and even life-changing experience. We're going to hear now, in succession, from Tony Caviglia, the football coach at Fresno City College, and two of his players, Jamal Pickett and Braylon Williams. First, the coach. Tony, how did this all begin for you?
We get calls for community service all the time, and I like to give some guys on my team, different guys on my team, a chance to get involved with the community. But this one was an odd one. This is not like helping kids in a reading program at an elementary school or anything like that. This guy was asking for some players to carry his father down a cliff about half a mile to an entrance of a cave. We don't get too many requests like that.
What about it made you take the time to consider it and then eventually follow through with some of your guys?
Really, the passion of his son who called. You know, I didn't realize what we were doing, to be perfectly honest with you, until we actually got up there. You know, it's a good 2-hour drive, 3-hour drive to get up to the cave entrance. And when we got up there and we saw all the Rangers, we met Thomason and his son and the guys that I brought up there, you know, they pretty much came because I asked them to come and kind of told them, but I really didn't know what I was telling them. I didn't even know there was a cave like that that even existed. And just to watch them work together, the five of them as teammates, being able to take turns lifting the chair and taking different spots and, you know, working together as a unit to get that guy in his wheelchair down to the mouth of the cave. It was exciting for me to see.
Coach C, when he means business, he means business. So I knew that when he asked me about this and he said it was a veteran, I was like, you know, when I heard veteran, I was like, oh, of course. Like, you know, that's not even a question. I'll do that. So, I mean, it was an honor that he had asked me and a couple other players to have the opportunity to take that veteran down to a cave. It was something that I couldn't turn down, you know?
How hard was it? How big a deal was this to carry a wheelchair down that kind of grade, that kind of slope, to where you guys could actually get in the cave with him?
It was extremely hard. I mean, I was not expecting, like you said earlier, when Coach C asked about carrying a man in a wheelchair down to a cave. Like, you know, we were just like, oh, yeah, football players, we got this. This is all, it's easy. But, I mean, it was extremely hard. I mean, there was times where we couldn't even push. We had to all pick a side of the wheelchair and lift the man up to get through some of the areas. And some of these areas were extremely tight. We had him lifted up with one arm, and then, because we had to adjust our bodies in order to turn him at some points. You know, when we got to the cave, I kept thinking, how are we going to bring him back up the mountain, pretty much. You know, I was like, but it turned out to be a lot easier bringing him back up than bringing him down, due to the force, you know, because we were, you know, worried about the wheelchair tipping forward at some parts. But, you know, carrying it up the mountain was a lot easier than bringing him down.
You play running back, right?
Yes, sir.
And we all know there's one thing a running back can never do. You can never fumble the football. I mean, have you ever felt as much pressure carrying the football as you did carrying a 94-year-old man in a wheelchair?
No, I didn't. It didn't match up the football. I mean, I've been in some games where, you know, it's important to not lose the ball. But, you know, with him in a wheelchair and what he's done for this country and what he's done for that cave, it was something that, like, you know, we had to make sure we got him there safely. And we were going to make it happen. It was a lot of pressure. It was. But, you know, we didn't crack. You know what I'm saying? We held it together and got him to the cave. And we helped, even when we got to the cave, we helped push him all around the cave because there were some parts in the cave that was extremely tight. We had to, you know, lift them up. So, I mean, it didn't just stop. The work didn't stop when we got to the cave. We had to help them all through the cave as well. But at the same time, we weren't even thinking about the help. It was an experience that all of us got, and it was just a blessing to be a part of it. What I took from it all was, like, chase my dreams and be somebody and leave a legacy behind, because he definitely left a legacy behind. The things that he's done in life, it's crazy. And to see him still going and smiling, it's a blessing, you know. So I just want to, he's a hero to me. He's a hero to everybody. So it was something that, like, I want to be like that. You know, I want to leave behind a legacy and people to know my name and remember that good things I've done in life.
And finally, Braylon Williams.
We first tried to just wheelchair him down, and then, like, when it got difficult going downhill, we put on extra straps, and just carrying him down, all five of us helped out, and it was just extraordinary. It was just a great experience.
Was it hard, like physically hard to do?
Yes, it was. It wasn't easy. It was challenging, but it all paid off in the end. I saw Chester's marks where he laid the bombs and also all the new formings of the Crystal Cave. It was just great. It was amazing.
Had you ever been in there before?
No, I haven't. First time.
Did you even know it was there?
No idea.
Can you imagine a guy about your age or even younger than you, I guess, when he did it, crawling around there and sticking dynamite in places and setting it off?
I can't imagine. It takes extreme bravery for that. And Chester, he's a great man, and just thank him for all that.
Did you get a sense of what it meant for him to be back down there and what you guys did for him to get him down there?
Yes, it was extremely emotional. We knew, like, and he knew, like, this is his last time seeing it. And so we just wanted to make that moment special for him, and he was just a great, nice guy.
Members of our latest generation honoring the greatest generation in a unique and powerful way. Haven't heard a story quite like that before. Thanks again to Chet and Corey Thomason and to the Fresno City College Rams football program. We're out of time for today, but don't forget to check out those photos at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. Until next time, I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.